evening, everyone. This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is TS Radio. Our guest tonight is quite a whistleblower in many, many different ways. And what we're going to be talking about, and I think is important to all of us, is what's going on down in Kansas City with this Bannister Kansas City Honeywell plant. Now, this plant worked for years and years assembling parts for nuclear weapons. And while this was going on, they never told the workers what all they were being exposed to. And I think we have Maurice. Maurice?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Good. Thank you. And that's our guest, everyone. But anyway, at this plant, these people were exposed for decades to these chemicals and elements and things that you just cannot believe that they allowed these people to be exposed to and never told them. And as people started getting sick, they denied initially, of course, that anything was wrong. Now, as of 2010, a list had been assembled of all of the workers who had, that they knew of, who had various types of cancers and other illnesses, most of them cancers, and I cannot say this word, Maurice, but it's berylliosis that is associated, yes, and it's a lung disease where it caused granulization of the lung and scarring, and it will mimic COPD. And I even found where they had instructed doctors in the area that if people came in from that plant exhibiting these symptoms, to mark it down as COPD. When it was, in fact, this severe allergy to this beryllium. Anyway, now, even after all of this, Honeywell got a contract to build a new facility for this National Nuclear Security Administration, and it's about $900 million a year, or about $9 billion over the next 10 years, which includes options. And it says this now, this complex produces the non-nuclear components for nuclear weapons. Now, the other plant that they moved out of, and they're still employing 2,500 people, sat on 300 acres. And according to Maurice, this, and I've read documentation on this, this land is all contaminated. The building is contaminated. And they're talking about tearing this building down and reclaiming the property and building on it. And this is just a disaster in the making. Currently, like I say, there are more than 1,440 people that have been adversely affected by this. And many of them, they said less than 23% of them who filed claims have been able to get any compensation for the loss of a family member or ongoing illness like lung cancer. The list of cancers was just incredible. But we're going to be talking about all of this and what Maurice has done to try and mitigate these circumstances, to advocate for these people that have been injured while employed there and what he's encountered in this process. So everyone, please help me welcome Maurice Copeland to the show. Maurice, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. Thank you very much. Let me tell you one thing about the plant. The plant has always been designated a non-nuclear facility. People may have heard of places like Hanford up in Washington and Paducah down in Kentucky, and there's also a place called Metropolis in Illinois. They mix the hot stuff. They mix up the hot stuff. They mix up the radioactive material that comprises the deadly stuff in the bomb as far as the fissile materials. And there are other plants that do the same thing. I think it's the Savannah River. I'm not sure. But it's other. The nuclear weapons facility is a big complex.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's all over the country. Most states are going to deal with this problem or have already dealt with this problem and still dealing with the problem. Okay?
Okay.
So I wanted to get that straight. And we make what they call the non-nuclear components to the bomb. Now,
okay,
we also assemble the components to the bomb.
Okay.
We assemble it, and the non-nuclear part is a misnomer.
Okay.
If the government wants to change the name of a cat to a dog, you know the government can do that.
Yes.
They can do
yes.
that. They can call a cat a dog and make people believe that. And we'll just go along, start calling cats dogs. So they can call us a non-nuclear plant. Yes, we do. Yes, we did have radioactive material. Yes, we did machine uranium. And we had plutonium, tritium. We had all of the elements at that facility. Okay?
Uh-huh.
All right. You want to ask me anything else right quick?
Well, that's what, you know, one of the things that I saw and everything I read in the run-up to this show was that they finally admitted, yes, they were using all of these chemicals and elements and radioactive materials, but that somehow
right.
you wouldn't be affected by this. Maurice, when did you figure out what was going on? When did
okay.
you figure out there was a problem?
Okay. We had a president called Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton wrote an act, a presidential executive order, and I'm sure that everybody knows what presidential executive orders are now because Trump
They've
is writing plenty of them, and
mm-hmm.
also Obama wrote plenty of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I consider presidential executive orders to be close to the president's heart. This is something
mm-hmm.
that they really believe in. Otherwise, they wouldn't be writing them. He wrote an executive order, and people can write this down. EEOICPA. That's the Energy Employees Occupational Illness Act. Okay?
Okay.
EEOICPA. Okay? Now,
mm-hmm.
what that did was that revealed everything. And he did a good job on writing that because he admitted that the United States government had the nuclear weapons complex, us, working
mm-hmm.
in this hazardous atmosphere without our knowledge. And it
there
states
you go.
It very clearly. And in the act, of course, they said that they were going to take care of the health problems that we have, and
mm-hmm.
there are numerous health problems.
Right.
They said
right.
that they would give the people a compensation. They put a price tag on it, and they have two sections of that of the compensation would be what they call E and B.
Okay.
E is $150,000. And you get a medical card to
okay.
handle the diagnosed illness. And there's B is the cancers that come from radiation. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing people should understand, and in Kansas City, you mentioned the element called beryllium. Beryllium mimics CBD, chronic beryllium disease, borreliosis. You can think of asbestosis. You can think
okay.
of mesothelioma. That is what you get. That's what you got. It,
okay.
it kills your lungs. It kills your lungs, and it kills it very slowly. And
oh.
what it does, it mimics the flu. It mimics COPD. It mimics lung problems. So this was one that they wanted everybody to kind of concentrate on. they wanted us to concentrate on it, and at the same time, they wanted us not to try to find out if we had that problem. The old guys, back in the old days, we had a meeting. We had a town hall meeting in Kansas City, and this was back in about 2000. Now, the act was granted in the year 2000.
Okay.
And we had a town hall meeting where the Department of Labor sent in all of their heavyweights from Washington, D.C. And the town hall was for the older guys because we had complained, I complained, that they weren't getting to everybody. They weren't informing everybody, which they weren't. So they called in the older guys, put a call out, and this is what they told those people when they came to that town hall meeting. If you're of age, if you're older, 50, 60, 70, I'm sorry, 60, 70, or 80, maybe you shouldn't be tested for this borreliosis because the tests that we do may kill you. And we think that you ought to talk. You ought to talk to your clergy, and you ought to talk to your family before going through the tests. That's what they was. That's what they told these old guys.
What kind of tests were they intending to do to them that would result in a fatality?
They take biopsies of the lung, and then they'll flush the lungs.
Okay.
They'll flush the lungs with a saline solution.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they felt that older people, well, they know. Because, I mean, we're having problems. We're having problems with young people that test positive, what they call positive. Test sensitive to beryllium. If you test sensitive to beryllium, well, then you go through the process of having the biopsy and going through their little process. And it is messing these people up. I encourage people. And maybe I shouldn't do it, but I do, and they seem to, you know, agree with me. I encourage people that once you find out you're positive, you're sensitive, don't do that. Because everyone that I run into, these people are suffering after that, and they have you come back every 2 years, and they continue to do biopsies. What does that mean? That must mean that they're checking the progression of the chronic beryllium disease. I do not think that people have chronic beryllium disease. I mean, are sensitive. I think they initially have chronic beryllium disease. And they're just checking the progress until they decide to name it chronic beryllium disease. Then you get the white card to have medical treatment. You're not allowed to have medical treatment until you're diagnosed chronic beryllium disease. Then they'll also compensate you the little money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's devious what they're doing. It's just downright wrong,
Maurice.
So,
when you were working and this all began coming out, what was going on there? You told me that you had questioned them at one point in time about what chemicals, elements, things you were exposed to, and you said they had told you there were 293, and then you found out later. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's another thing, people. Something is definitely wrong. They initially, in the year 2000, when we introduced the program, they said that they gave the list, what they call the SIMS, the Site Exposure Matrix. The SIMS holds the number of chemicals and the name of the chemicals and the elements, the toxic elements that were present in the plant. And they named 300. They gave us a number of 300.
Okay.
Over the years, up until, now this is a progression, up until the year 2009, they had 8 revisions to the Sims. So the number grew. The number grew, say, every 3 years. And at, let's just jump on up to 2009.
Okay.
They went from 300 to 901. Now, you got to realize, people are being tested for the diseases and the problems that they had, whether it's kidney, whether it's anything, cancer, anything. They had been getting tested since the year 2000.
Okay.
And they were being denied because their illness didn't coincide with the chemical or the toxic materials that we had in the plant. So I asked them about in 2009, wait a minute, did you go back and have these people retested against all of the now 900 chemicals? And they said, no. What's up with that? How can you do that? You turn the people down in the previous years because you were checking against a number of 300 chemicals. Now it has grown to 900 chemicals, and you mean you're not going back and reviewing the people that you denied because of these other chemicals that could be related, these other chemicals or hazardous materials that could be related to the illness? And they said no. Now, you have to realize this, too. They said no, but if they knew, if they could name the chemical related to the illness, then we would consider it. Well, they didn't even have access. The people didn't have access to the Sims until 2010. In other words, they did not know what chemicals were being added to the Sims, to that site exposure matrix. And to get the people to understand that in this number 901, we carry that number all the way up, and think about this, they carry that number all the way up until 2015. Okay,
yes.
We were exposed to 901 toxic materials, chemicals, and other elements up until 2015. No, that's not the half of it. In 2016, the number grew to 2,453.
Oh my God.
Yeah, think about that. What is going on here? This has to be calculated. People are dying all over the place. And so all of these numbers and all of these chemicals that they would release at certain times, this is over 16 years, and they would release a higher number of chemicals, higher number of chemicals, higher number of chemicals, but they're turning down people all along. Something is definitely wrong here, and we know what's wrong, and we can't get a proper hearing, which all the Congressman Cleaver, Claire McCaskill, Senator Bond when he was in, and Senator Blunt, supposedly, and I say that in quotes, supposedly have been asking for a congressional hearing, which we have never gotten. We have never gotten a response. The Congress people are not working for us. And like I said, in a lot of these states, Tennessee, we have Oak Ridge, and these complexes are all over the country. People should be familiar with what's going on, because you have one in your state. Okay?
Well, you know, I'm looking here at an article, and it says that for years, multiple federal agencies and the plant's contractors repeatedly stressed there were no significant health risks associated with working at the Bannister Federal Complex. And as recently as 2013, a report on the complex's environmental condition by Honeywell, the site's contractor, stated that there was no history of use of radioactive materials there except for depleted uranium, which they claim was only mildly radioactive. Depleted uranium is a war weapon. We used it in Iraq. We used it in the Gulf War. It was one of the causes of Gulf War sickness, along with testing of vaccines. But the depleted uranium did the job and sent those guys home sick. It is a known war weapon, and it is used against adverse populations. For them to try and marginalize it and say, well, it's only, you know, half as radioactive as, you know, common uranium, that's crap. It is far more damaging to the human body than natural background uranium that we're exposed to on a daily basis. And it is highly radioactive. And I know in Iraq, Maurice, when they blew up equipment with these weapons that had depleted uranium in them, on them, however, it became what they called a hot zone. And they left them where they blew them up because they were so radioactive, you didn't dare go near them.
Right.
So for the idea for you to people to be in this plant, I read too where they said it appeared that the Honeywell, the administration, viewed the workers as disposable. And from what you're telling me and what I have read about this in a background for this show, that is exactly how they saw you. You were expendable, you know, and how can they, now my question at this point is, they've moved into this big, what is $647 million facility, and they claim it's non-nuclear too, but aren't they doing the same thing you were doing at the original plant?
I would think they are. You know, when you can get away with something, are you going to just quit it? You know,
yeah.
When you can get away with it? And it's another thing that has that it came out of Congress that has been set for this new facility. They now are exempt and will be no longer responsible for the illnesses. Can you believe that?
Say what?
I even heard. Now this is what I heard from people that are still working at the plant and that are retiring. I understand that they're making them sign a paper. They're asking them to sign a paper that they will not hold them responsible. This is what they're doing. They're shoving a piece of paper in front of them when they get ready to retire and making them sign it that they will not hold them responsible for any health problems that they have after they leave the plant. Now, this is too much. Too much.
Who put this bill in Congress? I want to know who put this bill in Congress.
Well, it came out of the National Defense Authorization Act.
Okay.
It's all built into that. You'll have to, you know, find it.
I'll look for it. Yeah, I'll look for
it.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's the first time the transaction that went on with this plant.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time that they ever did the transaction to build this plant, the financing of it and all this stuff was a oneer. They never did this before. It's on a bond issue of private investors, and these are the things that came along with it. So it's sure the fallout from the old plant. The old plant is still under the Department of Energy. The Department of Energy, and this plant, this new plant, no, it's not. It's not. And all of the act, the EEOICPA, is under the Department of Energy. Now this plant in the old plant was under it was on the property owned by GSA, the General Services Administration. That property is full government property. We had the GSA there. We also had Bendix. when I say these names, it's three names, Bendix, Honeywell, and Allied Signal. Those are the names that the DOE plant went by.
Okay.
It's currently under Honeywell. And we also had on this 300 acres the Internal Revenue. Now, the Internal Revenue raised so much sand years ago about the place. I had a friend that worked over there, and they knew something was wrong, too.
Uh-huh.
Now, this place, it's about 300 yards from the big plant, from the DOE plant. It's about 300 yards. This guy, my friend, used to go to, you can imagine, Internal Revenue. This is where you file your taxes. This is where we examine your taxes, all this good stuff, in the Region 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then Minnesota. Minnesota, you're in Region 7.
Yes.
Okay? Yeah. And this guy, my friend, would go to work at Internal Revenue in a hazmat suit.
What?
He would go, yeah, that's what he would wear in there. And they would get on him. Why are you doing this? He said, because people are dying over here, man. This place is contaminated. And they filed cases over there. I don't know who they were filing them with, but they shut that IRS down. They closed that plant down, evacuated that plant, and moved everybody into an office building downtown. Well, in fact, they moved them into Union Station. You may have heard of Union Station in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yes.
Well, the IRS is located in Union Station now. So those people made enough enough noise, and those people were getting sick, and they won cases. My friend that worked there, they gave him full disability, and wanted to get rid of him because he was showing them up and winning these cases for these people.
Uh-huh.
We have a building on the DOE side that we gave to IRS. We let them use it. We let them use this building. And we claim, now they've done all this stupid stuff. They've done it publicly. They've documented this. They said that building never belonged to the Department of Energy. Yes, it did. Yes, it did, too. It belonged to the Department of Energy. In fact, it was old Pratt and, part of Pratt & Whitney when we acquired it. It's all one building now, even GSA. GSA and Honeywell, the DOE, is all the very same building. The people that work for GSA do not get the benefit of their illnesses. And we found uranium over there. I really didn't like what was going on. We made enough noise that we had five investigations going on all at the same time.
Oh, my God.
One was the IG. One was the CDC. One was the EPA, the Missouri Division of Natural Resources, and it was another one that escapes me right now. All of them was going on at the same time. But where they did the investigation was on GSA. Now, why would you do the investigation at GSA? GSA are paper pushers. That's all they are. We are the source. The building, remember, the building is the same building. The same, we handle the same air circulation.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, we and DOE, we also did things over on the GSA side. We used to have garage sales where we sold tooling, fixtures, and jigs to the state. We would put everybody, and for years, I'm talking about back in the day, for years, people would come from all over the state, Springfield, Joplin, St. Louis, to buy old fixtures for their machine shops, to recycle the metal. Well, what were we doing? we were selling, and we wasn't doing it. I can't say that Honeywell was making money, you know, because they're not allowed to do that. But we were selling contaminated equipment to just the general population, because everybody would come out there to get these cheap tools, you know.
Yes.
Whatever. So it's okay. Well,
and they didn't know that what they were buying was contaminated, did they?
No. No, they didn't.
Yeah.
No, they didn't. We even built a daycare on that property back in the 90s. Now, this really was a doozy. We built a daycare. Sounds good. You're going to take care of the people's kids that are working on your facility.
Uh-huh.
That's nice. You can go, when you get off work, you can go straight over, pick up your child, and go home. Nice little cute daycare. And they knew, everyone knew that worked there, you're building this daycare on a contaminated site. I'm talking about on the spot where we used to have 55-gallon drums of PCBs on the very same spot. And we had those PCB cans out there for decades. When I first went to work there in 1968, that's where they stacked up the PCBs all along there. And at some point, you know, they would be whatever we did with them. In fact, you know, we buried them on a lot of them on the property. That's why the place is so contaminated. That's one reason that the place is so contaminated. And nobody is claiming that. Honeywell is not claiming that. The union won't step forward and say that we did these things. We know we did it. We worked there. These people that are standing up for the property, that are saying that everything's okay, we're gonna clean it up, and we're gonna repurpose the place, and we're gonna put a business out here. Well, these people weren't even born back in 1968.
Yeah.
So they're working for some firm that's trying to capitalize on it. That's all. That's all they know. You know. Even some of these government people. Come on, you can't tell me what I did back in 1968. You weren't even born.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
You know, I can't imagine what it was like going to work every day when you began realizing what was happening, that people around you were sick and dying, and that it had to have been in, you know, in conjunction with this job, with what you were doing. And Maurice, I guess my question at this point is, when you found out ultimately over 2,400 chemicals and elements and various things you were exposed to, what was your reaction to that? I mean, I just can't imagine what your reaction to that must have been, to find out you had worked all those years and they lied to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, continued to lie to you when this information came out.
Yeah, and they're continuing to lie now. And you have to realize this, too. I'm a Vietnam veteran.
Mm-hmm.
So to have the government reveal that they did something like that to me and the rest of the people, it was a shock, yeah. But it was typical. Oh, it's typical. That's the way I look at it. You know, it's Agent Orange. We used Agent Orange on that property out there at that plant.
Jeez.
You know, the government loves to have a beautiful building and a beautiful grounds, right? They love to trim and edge all of the good stuff. You know, they don't want grass to grow where they don't want grass to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we use that to keep the buildings, and they haven't in the films. If you people don't know what chemicals are, and they don't call Agent Orange Agent Orange.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a scientific name for it. Well,
right.
They've got it in the films that we had Agent Orange on that property. Well, sure we did. We kept the place cute for them, you know.
Uh-huh.
As far as as the over the years and releasing and revising the films, in other words, the number growing,
mm-hmm.
that's what shocked me. And the reason that it really shocks me is because it's obvious what they were doing. These people
yeah.
were releasing, it was calculated that,
yes.
these, that we wouldn't know that all at once. So the years go on and on and on.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the statute of limitations, you know, people could, lawyers could bring up that type of, their lawyers could bring up that type of defense. Well, they should have filed a long time ago because the statute of limitations. Well, how can we do that when we didn't know that you kept adding chemicals? You kept adding
right.
these elements. And
right.
let me, for your audience, I want you to understand how devious these people were.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lady. And this, when I say it was a lady, look, that plant had 10,000 people, 9,000 people back in 1968.
Okay.
It went from 3,000. You have to, you know, we had the what you call the Cold War, right?
Right.
And we are designated by Congress and as Cold War veterans. That's who we
mm-hmm.
are. That's the people
okay.
that work in those complexes. Okay, so you have a Cold War buildup. The plant went from like 2,000 people to 9,000 people almost overnight in the 60s because we had the Vietnam veterans coming back. And they was in a drive to hire blacks because no blacks worked there. So they were building it up, building the plant. The plant went from 3,000 to 2,000 to 9,000 people overnight. Now, what are you going to do with all these people? What are you
right.
going to do with them? You train them. That's what they were supposed to do. And they did a job. They did a job. They did train us. But some people never worked in their trained occupation in their trained trade while they worked there because it was too many people. What are you going to do with all these people? You don't have that many machines. Everybody, you don't need everybody to sit down and do the soldering. You don't need all of these platers. You see what I'm saying? So people
yes.
were trained to do some things, and they did them, but they were also loaned out. They were loaned out to other places that they had no idea what they were doing. All they would do is just go and do labor.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they may work on the skid wash where you wash the contaminated barrels. Did they protect these people? How could they protect them when the people didn't know what they were doing?
Exactly.
Yeah. When the people didn't know what they were doing, they weren't trained. And to show you, I want to real give the people the full impact of what went on. In the 80s, the late 80s, people might know that we went through a period of hazardous material, hazmat, different types of occupational names. Now, they set up a school, I think it was in Cincinnati or somewhere, where people had to be trained to work with the hazardous material. And so they had to take a test. They had to take a test before they could go to this school. At our plant, now, people should really understand, and I'm not embellishing anything, not at all. And I challenge anyone in Kansas City, Missouri, anyone that worked at that plant, all your industrial hygienists, all of your upper management, and I've challenged them for over 16 years. Anything that I say, if you want to make me look crazy, make me look like a fool, all you have to do is just come and sit with me in public and let's talk about what went on. They took these people and they gave them a test. And they found out that the people that was working with the hazardous materials called waste management, the people that were washing the barrels, the people that were handling all of the hazardous chemicals, most of them could not read. And we're talking about comprehension and being proficient in reading so you understand what you're doing.
Yes.
How could you have trained these people? They can't even read the label on a bottle of benzene. They can't read it. So what they did, they gave them an option of going to a classification called custodian or janitor, okay, or laborer. Now you got to realize they're getting ready to take a pay cut when they do that. And so they send the people to school, they come in and they get in this new classification. I forget what they call it, waste management or something like a hazardous materials handler or whatever it was. Those people were supposed to be skilled and trained. Now, you just worked the majority of these people in this job, handling all that material for 20 and 30 years, and they could not read. So you put them out of the job. What does that tell you about that company? You put these people in a dangerous, risky environment, worked them for 20 or 30 years, and then once you found out that they couldn't handle this stuff because they can't read the labels, they don't know how to manipulate the MSDS, and if they did, they wouldn't know what to do with it. So you put them out, or you even fired some of them. So you put them out on the street. Thank you very much.
Oh.
You better be glad it wasn't me.
Yeah.
So, these things need to be talked about. They need to be heard. They need to be heard by the public, because Kansas City is not the only place that did it. Nuclear weapons industry was run the same way. It's so many things that sound so unbelievable. I had a lawyer tell me one time, Copeland, this stuff, one reason that you're having a hard time is because it's so unbelievable. But you know what? He said, it's true. Because he took some cases. He said, this is true. I said, you doggone right, it's true. It's just, you can't think of your government doing this to you. Well, I can, because I was there. Yeah, I was a manager at Honeywell. Yes, I was. I was a supervisor. And yes, I didn't know the extent of it either until the year 2000 when I read the act. And another thing, I don't want to sound like, I'm just running my mouth. I want people to understand. When we went to work at the nuclear weapons plant, everyone had to pass a physical.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have a physical. So that made you acceptable because you're healthy. Okay. You are also required to take, some people were required to take a physical every year. Some people were required to take a physical every 2 years. Some people were required to take a physical every 5 years after you were hired. Why were they doing that?
Yeah.
We should have got ahead of hint, right?
Yeah.
We should have. But no, because all they would tell us was stuff like, your blood pressure is going up, or, I think you ought to stop eating so much pork. That bacon's going to kill you. Well, it may not be the bacon. It might be the benzene. It might be the toluene. It might be the promethium. It may be anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because it all works on the same organs. High blood pressure, y'all can check this stuff out very easily. High blood pressure is just not caused by what you eat. It could be those chemicals. Leukemia is caused by benzene. I'm talking about Agent Orange is high blood pressure.
Yes.
Agent Orange, these, you know, uranium. I mentioned the element called promethium. There was a lady that worked in the plant. Now you got to realize this thing went over. This is a contaminated spill at Honeywell, at our plant.
Okay.
And the spill happened back in the 1980s, the late 80s, I think it was. We didn't know it until 2004. Now, they found out about the spill, but the spill had already happened, say, like 10 years prior. So we're walking around that plant, people tracking radioactive material, it's called promethium, radioactive material around for a decade. Now, this one lady, she had a lung, she had part of a lung cut out, she had cancer, she had all this good stuff. And they were trying to see if she had borreliosis. Misdirecting us again. So you see
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Misdirecting
yes.
us again. Okay. I don't care. I used to tell. I don't care nothing about borreliosis. Look what you did to this woman. You had this woman and everybody in the plant walking around tracking this stuff around. Now, until today, I still don't know if they've taken care of this woman. I still don't know what they did. I know they denied her claim, her cancer claim. They denied it when I was helping her. And here's the killing part, and I want the ladies to really listen to this. They found this element. They found this element in this woman's house, the radioactive promethium. They found it in her house. It was on her drapes. It was on her carpet. It was on her pillow. But
oh, my
ladies,
God.
Ladies, that ain't all. They found the promethium on her toilet stool. Okay?
Oh, my.
Now, let your imagination run with you. Now, I want you to understand, this lady was a janitor. She cleaned up all over the plant. She worked
mm-hmm.
all over the plant. And she was not the only one in her crew. In her crew. You know, usually the government and everybody, you have more custodians and janitors and laborers than you have anything else that work in these facilities. So these people are all over that place. They're using the bathroom all over that place. So how many people over the decade that they didn't reveal this spill, that this woman didn't know that she was tracking this stuff, her and any of the custodians, that they were tracking it all over the plant. So how many people took this stuff home with them?
Exactly.
How many people... Right. Did their kids come over for Thanksgiving dinner? The kids were crawling around on the carpet, you know, loving grandma. You know,
oh, this, my God.
Yeah. Okay. I know. Go ahead.
This is just so disgusting. And I read where out of 553 initial complaints, only 23% of them, roughly 100 people, were ever compensated. The rest of them were all denied. And when I saw this number of more than 1,440 people that had made claims, and they're trying, from everything I read, Maurice, they're trying everything to deny every one of them. And when I see the marginalization of the use of depleted uranium, which is just absolutely one of the most horrendous substances out there, and to marginalize this, minimalize it, and deny it, and this is just disgusting. And this new plant, your plant that you worked at, was non-nuclear, they said, and they're saying this new plant is non-nuclear. Now, I'm sorry, but we've caught them in too many lies. So I'm thinking if they're doing the same thing, obviously it is a nuclear plant. My question goes a little further out. You're making replacement parts to keep these nuclear warheads supposedly up to date. So what are they doing with the parts they're taking out? They've got to be toxic. What are they doing with them?
That's right. That's right. And they have to be, and they are. We used, at our plant, we used to bring in a weapon parts that were in the weapons out in the field because, you know, we want them to be reliable, and then we want to run some tests on them. We did that in Honeywell. We did that in Kansas City. And we would get those things in, and a lot of this, them things would be leaking.
Oh, my God.
And when we machine them, we would map out a section because we didn't want to disturb anything else in the part in the assembly.
Okay.
We would cut out a section, and we would reach in and get the part that the engineers wanted to look at, that they wanted to test. A lot of times, of course, your mapping may not have been, you know, too good. You know, we're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that I'm proud of at that plant. We were the number one producer of parts in the nuclear weapons industry, and we still are. Nobody else can say that. We had another plant called Pinellas in Florida that did 15% of what we did. We did 85% of all the non-nuclear components and the work on the nuclear weapons. And the only reason that Pinellas did 15% was because we were nice enough to give it to them to keep them afloat, because Pinellas was going to go out of business. But no, this is our sister plant. We gave them 15% of the work. So, you know, being nice. And Pinellas closed up, I think they closed up in the, I'm really not sure when they closed their plant. But talking about the demolition of our oil plant now, Pinellas has spent up in the billions cleaning up that plant down there in Florida. And somebody's probably listening from Florida, they can directly relate to this and the process that they went through. Well, let me tell you, our plant in Kansas City, 85% of the work since 1949 comes through Kansas City. We made 85%. At one point, we were 100% of the work that went into non-nuclear work. Now, here we go with that non-nuclear stuff again. The non-nuclear work that went into the bomb. Okay, they've estimated. It's a company here, and I call them a real estate developer.
Mm-hmm.
That says that they're gonna clean up this 300 acres. They're gonna demolish this building that is totally, and they know this for a fact, it is totally contaminated because of the materials that they used to build it was asbestos. Asbestos, somebody knows the technical name for the cinder block material that is asbestos, that has a lot of asbestos, the majority of it's asbestos. That's what that building was built out of. The estimate that this company made for cleaning that plant up and demolishing the building is the first estimate was $175
million.
$175 million wouldn't clean up Shoney's, you know, with all these elements in it. Okay.
Right.
They said now they settled on a number of $275 million. You got 300 acres, my friend. You got 300 acres. You got this building, a big building. I forget how many square foot this thing is. I mean, it's a big building.
Yeah.
But now they've estimated it at $275 million. Well, let me tell you something. Back in the 80s, in the 1989, our contract was being contested, and of course our management and the contractor, you don't want to lose this building. I mean, this building has been paying you a lot of money for all these years, you know. So they they gave all the attributes of having this building. So we did an estimate to discourage us moving out of the building and for them to get rid of the facility. They said, and this is the EPA, this is the Missouri Division of Natural Resources, this is everybody concerned that went in and did the estimate of the cleanup of that property. And you can look it up, you can find it. It's out there. I can't give you the address to it. But they said then, in 1989, that it would cost $800 million to clean this facility up, to demolish and clean this facility up. Now, you got a real estate developer in 2016 that says, no, we can do it for $275 million. Well, wait, okay. So now you're obviously telling me that something is wrong. You're either telling me that the government was lying to us back in 1989, or you're lying to us now that you're not going to do a cleanup. We just had a meeting a couple of weeks ago, and we brought that up, and they said, this is what the people that's going to clean it up now said. Well, obviously, they were going to do things that we aren't going to do. Well, I'm sure they were going to do it right.
Yeah.
They was going to milk. Yeah. Now, so they were going to do it halfway right, because, like I said, they are never. And people should understand this. Any place you got a nuclear plant, any place that you buried all this material, that place, Honeywell, that plant used to be designated, and this is really back in the old days, that plant used to be designated a landfill for the Atomic Energy Commission. Think about it.
Okay.
Think about it. Go ahead.
Maurice, we're down here to a minute and a half left. This went way too fast.
I'm sorry.
And such, This was great. It's so much information. I want to have you back on because we need to continue this conversation. I want to thank you for coming on this evening. There was a lot of attention on this show, and I can't wait to see what the response to it's going to be. People in Kansas City need to get a heads up, because I think you're in danger down there. And I truly believe that, too, after everything I've read concerning the background on this. Like I said, Maurice, thank you for coming on. We'll be back Sunday evening with a show on guardianship with Danny Tate and Shermaine Morley. Tomorrow at 11 o'clock, Commander Wells on our veterans show, and he's going to be talking about the new Veterans Administration head and what they might expect there. They're still fighting to get these guys coverage for Agent Orange in the Blue Water Navy. We'll be talking about burn pits, all kinds of things tomorrow, and what's been done to our military that they're just finding out about as far as water contamination, vaccines, and other things that they tested on them. So I hope you can tune in for that. That'll be at 11 Central. Then we'll be back Tuesday night with Voices Carry for Animals, and then we'll be rocking and rolling again next week on Thursday with Whistleblowers. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and Maurice, thank you for being our guest this evening.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
We'll be back again with you. See you later, everybody.
All right. Looking forward to it.